Welcome back to The State of Belief. I'm Interfaith Alliance President Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch. My guest is Jewish Council for Public Affairs CEO Amy Spitalnik. There's so many things coming at us at once. And, you know, it's trying to figure out, like, where to weigh in. And just as someone who, you know, my father was a law professor, my grandmother was in the academy, my my family is so invested in the academy. And then to see the academy being attacked and maybe attempted decimation, because that's a playbook in authoritarian efforts, you know. And so, and you set it out so well, and I just appreciate so much of what you're doing. You know, in addition to all the work on anti-Semitism that JCPA is taking a leadership role on, what else are you looking at as far as, like, really important for to, you know, really lift up as a Jewish value and something that Jewish communities are mobilizing and need to mobilize about in this moment?
Well, and, you know, in so many ways, everything we do fundamentally comes back to this framework that Jewish safety and inclusive democracy are inextricably linked. And so even if on the surface some of the work we're doing might not be understood as traditionally countering anti-Semitism or protecting Jewish safety, to me, to us, it's all ultimately rooted in that worldview, because we're not safe if immigrants or LGBTQ people or Black people or so many others are being threatened. And this is for a number of reasons. One, first and foremost, the Jewish community itself is incredibly diverse, which oftentimes gets lost in the conversation. Jews of color, LGBTQ Jews, immigrant and refugee Jews, you can go on. And a significant portion of our community. And so when you talk about attacking and ending diversity, equity, and inclusion, for example, that is bad for so many reasons for the Jews. Bad because it's at odds with our values and with the inclusive democracy that's important to our safety. Bad because it threatens the Jews who rely on diversity, equity, and inclusion in a number of ways because they are Jews of color or otherwise. And bad because, actually, to your point, diversity, equity, and inclusion is also can and must and has been in a number of cases quite inclusive of the Jewish community and our history and our identities. We're now seeing, for example, federal agencies that are ending Holocaust remembrance commemorations, that are removing, you know, Jewish women from military exhibits. It ultimately, Jews have relied on diversity, equity, and inclusion to advance in this country as well, both because of the diversity of our community and because we, too, are a minority in this country. And not that long ago, there were neighborhoods and clubs and schools that didn't allow Jews in. And so if we think that we are not going to be impacted by this, that this is not coming for us, first, it already is, and it is only going to come for the Jewish community even more. And so we are doing a lot of work. For example, we're part of this Demand Diversity Roundtable with a number of our national civil rights partners, the National Urban League and otherwise, advocating to protect diversity, equity, and inclusion. And from, as we've been saying in these spaces, we believe it's not only necessary, but possible and necessary to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in a way that is wholly inclusive of the Jewish community, our history, and our identities. And that is so crucial for so many reasons, because, yeah, again, we see the Jewish community being used as effectively a political football to go after these core values and policies that we know are inherent to our own values and safety. And this is also true, right, with immigration, with LGBTQ rights,
100%.
With voting rights, and so much else. And so we, you know, the core of our work really fits into the buckets of how are we protecting democracy and how are we countering hate and extremism in this moment, whether it is advocating for strong voting rights and protections or against bills like the SAVE Act that would disenfranchise millions, whether it's fighting to counter disinformation and make sure that social media is accountable and not used to advance disinformation and other influence campaigns, whether it is protecting fundamental immigrant rights and LGBTQ rights, reproductive rights, and more. Because, again, at the end of the day, this all connects directly to not just our values as Jews, but our own safety and rights as Jews.
100%. One of the things that's been, you know, really interesting is the obliteration of the USAID. And I think about HIAS and how important, like, some of these groups that have been involved in refugee efforts for the Jews originally, but then have expanded their mission in an incredible way, in totally in the values of America. Like, you can find a safety sanctuary here. And yet this has been a devastating administration for HIAS and for many of the conservative Christian organizations that have done this work out of their own values. And I just think that that's an important area also when we think about, it's not only domestically, it's how important the work that Jewish organizations have been doing around helping people around the world. And I believe HIAS has actually filed a suit against,
had some wins in court.
Yeah, they've had some wins in court, because I think a lot of this is so capricious and so, you know, just like, oh, we're just going to do this. I mean, based on what? And so I do think it's like, there's so many domestic issues, but also the way that Jewish groups in some ways are being curtailed in fulfilling their mission because of an administration.
And it's jeopardizing the safety of Jews around the world as a result, right?
If 100%.
But again, purports to care about Jewish safety and anti-Semitism. There are so many things they could do if they actually cared about anti-Semitism. You can talk about that. But one of the things they wouldn't do was gut the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which has been playing a crucial role in supporting refugees and immigrants around the world, including Jewish refugees, for example, and asylum seekers in Iran, right?
Right.
Who are facing very real threats to their safety and who are now at risk because of these cuts.
Yeah.
HIAS is such a core partner of ours. The work that they do is so rooted in the same worldview and values that we've been talking about here. And it's important and dangerous. Or rather, it's important to understand these cuts and the danger that they pose on so many levels. First and foremost, the ways in which it's just putting lives at risk, first and foremost. Asylum seekers, refugees, immigrants, like, we are quite literally seeing this administration put people's lives at risk because of their politics and their desire to gut these immigrant and refugee organizations. We also know that the ways in which they've demonized these groups leads directly to violence here at home. So we talked about Pittsburgh earlier. The Tree of Life white supremacist shooter specifically targeted that congregation because they work with HIAS to support immigrants and refugees, and it plays directly into this great replacement conspiracy theory, this idea that Jews are orchestrating the replacement of the white race through support for immigrants and refugees.
Right. Right.
So by demonizing these groups, it only further emboldens that extremism. But there's also like this longer term implication for an administration that purports to care about American stature and power in the world. We have now ceded the entirety of the soft power that is so crucial to American leadership. And who's going to come in to fill that vacuum? It's not going to be the good guys. It's going to be places like Russia and China and others who do not have our sort of like core interests and values in mind. And it's only going to make America less safe. So not only are
right.
we threatening the lives and safety of these immigrants and refugees and asylum seekers, which in and of itself is devastating, not only are we further emboldening extremists here at home by demonizing immigrant communities and those who support them, but we're fundamentally making America less safe and undermining our own strength and power on a global basis. And none
100%.
Of this is good for anyone who cares about Jewish safety, American safety, or our core values.
Yeah. It's also really important to recognize that one area that they have not really paid attention to with anti-Semitism is the kind of homegrown white identity, Christian identity, militia movement that is a core, frankly, a core constituency, which is where actually anti-Semitism is exploding. I mean, that, you know, if you look at Southern Poverty Law Center or if any of the monitoring, it's like, the very real expansion of anti-Semitism, you know, in these spaces is happening. And yet I've yet to see the administration really take that on in a way that shows a seriousness of rebuking this kind of, you know, this part of their own following, frankly.
Yeah, well, look, I would go even further and say that it's not it's not only they haven't taken it on, they've actually made decisions that intend to embolden it. So you could look at, for example, the fact that the FBI just gutted a number of staff and programs that were specifically focused on tracking and confronting violent white supremacy. You could look at the people who have been appointed to positions in this government, like the deputy press secretary at the Department of Defense or Elon Musk, all of whom have trafficked directly in neo-Nazi, white supremacist, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and ideas. The DOD press secretary in particular is this horrific example where she has this long history engaging in these Leo Frank conspiracy theories. These are like deep cuts in terms of what white supremacists believe. If you are engaging in these sorts of conspiracy theories, you are down the rabbit hole of neo-Nazi propaganda online. And so these people have not only been given a pass, in some cases they've been elevated. January 6th insurrectionists, many of whom, you know, were showing up in Camp Auschwitz shirts or Confederate flags and other anti-Semitic and extremist paraphernalia, and certainly espoused those ideas, pardoned. The Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Ed, which is specifically the tool we have to protect Jewish students and others on campus, has been decimated by this administration.
So, and all the mechanisms, and you and I both know people who were in that, you know, the Faith Eric, Katie Joseph, Maggie Siddiqui, they were really trying to create really good mechanisms by which every student could feel safe. All of them taken down first day. You know,
conversation about, like, did they do enough? Was there enough? I would argue that the Biden administration did not do enough to invest in OCR. Uh-huh. In some ways, our hands were tied because of Republican members of Congress, but we had like 50 cases per each OCR caseworker under Biden. So it was already starting from a place where we were not treating this with the urgency that it needed. And to your point, there were many folks there who were trying to do the right thing despite the limited resources they had. And now we've seen OCR offices around the country gutted. The department, obviously, this effort to totally decimate the Department of Education more broadly. So for an administration that keeps talking about how they are going to confront anti-Semitism and protect Jewish safety, everything that they are doing is seemingly at odds with that, you know, in many ways. And so it's a worthy goal. If this administration were serious about confronting anti-Semitism on campus or more broadly, that would be fantastic, because that is a real crisis that requires real constructive action. But what they're doing instead is, again, continuing to exploit our real concerns in service of the undermining of our rights, our democracy, and our institutions, while continuing to take steps to further embolden the sort of right-wing anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and ideas that have proven to make Jews and so many others less safe.
Yeah. We need to take another break, but then a few more minutes with Amy Spitalnik. You're hearing The State of Belief, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.